Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another new episode of the Endless Spiral podcast. It's your lucky day. This is like 2 weeks in a row now that I'm back doing this podcast, and I had a bit of a sabbatical for a while. Got the one and only Cara Byrne, which is, of course, the hike psych on the podcast, and she's gladly given up her time from running the Keith Russell Endless Spiral fan club for a few minutes to do this podcast. We'll explain all in a few minutes. Well, anyway, Cara, thanks very much for coming on the podcast for a chat. How are you? You all right?
I'm good, thanks. That's a cool introduction. Slightly different from the norm. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So look, what we were talking about, running the fan club. Actually, let's just not go into that at all. Let's just forget that part completely. Well, myself and Cara did actually meet up last week for a walk. And you might have seen it on my Instagram, and I don't know how we could manage to get lost in a park. We managed to do it a few times.
It's impressive, though. I don't think I've ever met anyone with as bad a sense of direction as me until I met you, and now I think you at least are equally as useless as finding your way around as I am, if not maybe even a little bit worse.
Oh, I'd say I am worse. We probably should have just like had handcuffs on so we didn't get separated.
You could still be there.
We probably will be, actually. And you could dodge in birds.
Oh, God.
I still don't know what that was about.
Listen, I think everyone would agree. If a bird looks like it's going to land on your head, you would duck. That's normal behavior.
Is that what you were doing?
Yes.
Right, let's move on. Right, down to the actual serious stuff. Well, it probably won't be, but we'll do our best.
We'll try.
Right, so you are the hike psych.
Where'd you come up with the name? The company I run, the psychotherapy practice I run, is Hike Psych. It's Ireland's only hiking psychotherapy practice. And until I had a girl start with me recently, I was the only hiking psychotherapist in Ireland. It's more common elsewhere, places with better weather probably. But I was the first person to start doing psychotherapy sessions in the hills here. Yeah. Not the only person to do it outdoors. There are some walk and talk therapists who do parks and stuff like that. But I was the first person to bring it into the mountains.
Have you always kind of been into hiking, or did you just kind of stumble across it? Or
no, it's a bit of a funny story. I was invited on a girls' weekend to Scotland in, like, I think it was 2017. By a dear friend of mine, and she was like, yeah, we're going to fly into Glasgow, you know, might do a bit of a walk or whatever. So I assumed the walk was like around Glasgow city, like shopping, you know. Yeah. And then about a month before we went, I was like, so what's the plan for the weekend? She was like, oh, you know, we'll fly into Glasgow, and then we'll drive up to Fort William, and we're going to climb Ben Nevis on Saturday, and then we'll come home on Sunday. And I was like, sorry, we're doing what? I had never hiked a day in my life before, never. And Ben Nevis is the highest mountain in like England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. So
he went all in.
I mean, like, I had 4 weeks to go from not hiking at all to one of the highest peaks in this in between the two islands. So it was unexpected, my start in hiking, but I just loved it. I did a few kind of practice ones in the weeks beforehand, and I just fell in love with it so fast that by the time we were coming back down from Ben Nevis, I was like, this is my thing. I like this, you know?
Yeah.
I just loved it. But not the traditional start, but I'm glad I found it before lockdown. I know loads of people kind of stumbled into it over lockdown. I already knew the trails and the routes, so I wasn't getting stuck in all the, you know, all the car park jam ups and all the, you know, the really popular routes, because I'd already been doing it for a while before everyone else kind of fell into it, which was nice.
And how did you kind of manage to kind of merge the psychotherapy and the hiking as well? Because I mean, when I kind of came across you on Instagram, I was like, wow, that's really, like, not unique, but because obviously I hadn't heard of it before, but just very, really interesting. I was like, well, I hadn't heard of anyone else doing it like that. I was like, that's really, really good.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I had, when I kind of fell in love with hiking first, I just I started doing it with groups. So I started this weekly kind of women's group in my community. So we'd go every Tuesday, and it was a non-committal group. So I just said, I messaged essentially every woman that I knew, and put an open invitation to them all, saying, I will be at this point, at this time, rain, hail, snow, no matter what, every week for a hike. If you want to come, come. If you don't. You don't need to tell me. You don't need to, make excuses. You show up. I will be there no matter what. So if you want to come along, do. And bring whoever you like and add whoever you like in. And it's like I want it to be our group, not just my thing. So I started with that, and that ran for I think nearly 3 years. And it was really on that I noticed how easily people start to open up in the outdoors, how natural it is. Like, because people would bring people that I didn't know at all. They'd bring friends of friends, or and within a few minutes, people are talking about really serious stuff, and not knowing even that I was a therapist, that they would just open up naturally and they would just be talking. And it's a much more natural environment. It's kind of, I suppose what I love about the mountains is that everybody is the same. Everybody's paired back. No one cares what you do. No one cares what you're wearing. No one, like, literally, so long as you've got a pair of boots on, you're not going to be falling over all the time. Literally nobody cares, and in the best possible way. You're all starting on the same point. And at some point during every hike, everyone struggles. Do you know? Like, it doesn't matter if you've been hiking for ages or you've never hiked before. There's always a point. And at that point, you see the kind of the camaraderie and the community and the people urging you on and pushing you forward. And it's just a really natural, easy way of talking. And people kind of build a trust much faster in that environment. And so, having done that for so long while doing therapy online, with clients and in person, pre-COVID, I had the kind of the seed of the idea was planted, and then I had been kind of working towards doing it. It's still sort of being like, oh, really? Is that going to work? Is that going to, will people do that? And then COVID happened, and so many of all my clients had to go online. So and so many of them were like, is there any chance we could do it in person? And I was kind of going, well, I had been working on this idea, and this might be possible. And even in the height of lockdown, you were allowed to do an hour's exercise outdoor with one other person. So it was allowed the whole way through, which was lovely. So yeah, so I started it. Actually, a friend of mine trusted me with a relative of hers as my first hike client. And yeah, I started it, and that was it. Straight away, it just kind of gained traction because people were like, that makes so much sense. Like, why is nobody else
That's what
doing
I
that?
said.
Yeah, and I kind of assumed people were doing it. So when I started, like when I was trying to, even come up with a name and stuff like that, I was Googling online, surely there must be somebody doing it here. And I was like, how is nobody doing it? And then of course you're like, why is nobody doing it? Is there some awful reason why this isn't gonna work, But yeah, that was it. It just took off, and very quickly people were like, this is a great way of doing it, and telling their friends. And it's been lovely, but I wish I could see more people, but I don't have time, but
And would you
hopefully.
find that you do more individual sessions or groups of people kind of work better, or does it kind of depend on the person, I suppose?
Yeah, no, I just do one-on-one for
All
the
right.
therapy. The group things I do tend to be kind of charity things, or they're
Right.
specific kind of
Right.
usually collaborations with other hiking groups. So we do kind of empowering women ones, or we do intuitive eating ones. Sinead Crowe from Intuitive Eating Ireland. Yeah, we did an intuitive eating hike together, and they're not my kind of my work. They're just something
All
that
right.
I kind of like to do as an addition to it, as a way of kind of collaborating and getting to work with other people and that sort of thing. So it's all one-on-one. I do get asked about couples therapy sometimes, but I don't think bringing an arguing couple up to a mountain is the best idea, because there could be a bit of like, she fell, she didn't fall, you pushed her, so
It's actually taken exactly the same thing.
I
You'd
know,
only be coming back at one of
too many rocks.
them.
So I just
Get
do
them
do
to
just do one
sign
on
a
one.
disclaimer.
Oh yeah. But yeah, so just one on one for the most part. But I love the group stuff. And like that, you're going to come along, aren't you, for the Mental Health Ireland hike on the 30th?
I am, yeah. I am actually, yeah.
Yeah,
I've been told I'm going, but
I
you're making me
know.
come.
You've been cordially invited to
I
attend.
know. I'm on job lookers for Mental Health Ireland, and I do like lots of stuff for them. So yeah, of course I'll be there. So do you want to we chat a bit about that as well, or do you have much info about that at the moment? So you have dates and you have all that type of stuff and.
Yeah, I have dates, so it's going to be a sunset hike on the 30th of March, for their Hello, How Are You campaign. So it's all about, I mean, like Irish people in particular are great for the hey, how are you? But we're not actually expecting a response. You know, we probably don't even want one half of the time. And if someone gives you one, you feel a bit like, oh, all right, okay, they've actually answered that question, you know. So it's about trying to change that into something that actually allows for a meaningful conversation with people, so that we actually are saying, like, really, how are you? You know, what's going on? And you know, just opening up conversations about what's really happening for people, you know. And that's it, you know, it's when you're going through hard stuff yourself, you know that check in daily, like, hey, how are you? You know, I want a response to that, you know. I'm not just asking to be nice or just to say hello, you know. So I
It's
think
a
it's a great
brilliant.
idea,
It is a
and
great
hopefully we
idea.
get a sunset. Should be
And
good.
hopefully we get a sunset.
Fingers
Okay,
crossed.
how can people get involved in that?
Well, I have it on Instagram, is really the only kind of social media that I use. So there's links to that in my events highlight on you can find it in my Instagram bio. So it's at hikeslike.ie. And I think as well, you could probably find it through Mental Health Ireland through their events page. I think they have links to all this. There'll be different ones in other parts of the country as well. I'm not the only person doing it. So yeah, that you can find me that way. But Instagram is the main place to locate me.
I'll share all those links in the description for this podcast anyway. Camilla, I wanted to ask you, right? Do you find, you kind of answered that at the beginning anyway, but I kind of wanted to ask it again because I just want to get a bit more detail. I mean, do you find people open up easier when they're out hiking or when they're outdoors? I suppose.
Absolutely, you do. It's it you get into it faster. That's what I see. You know, when you're doing it one to one, there's a few sessions, like if you're doing it in a room, you know, or you're doing it on Zoom, there's always a few sessions where you're kind of sussing the other person out a little bit. Not the therapist, but the client is trying to kind of suss out, do I want to work with this therapist? Is that, you know, you have to try and build that relationship. There's just something faster about how that happens in a setting that feels naturally more comfortable, you know, like when we walk with friends and talk, that's how we do it. You know, it's side by side or one in front of the other if it's a narrow trail. It's rare that we sit down with no other distractions in a little room, you know, talking to each other straight on like that. So that kind of office environment, while it's great and it works, and I practiced that way for years, it just has that extra kind of, I suppose, like almost institutional, kind of clinical feeling to it, you know. So it feels a little bit scarier, I suppose, for clients as well. You know, it's a bit more intimidating. Whereas, you know, we're just out for a walk. Like we happen to be doing therapy at the same time, but you know, we're out and enjoying it. And you know, you do, people just kind of settle into that sort of rhythm. It's really
And what,
interesting with clients, sorry, if you,
no, go
with
on.
anxiety, that when they start, they always walk really fast. You know, like I can always tell on a first session with someone if they have anxiety, because they like fly through the trail, and I'm like trying to keep up with them, you know. But and then you can see as the weeks go on that like they slow down, and you know, they're kind of the cadence of their steps calms, and it's a really interesting thing that you would never see in a room, you
Well, there you
know.
go. That's brilliant, isn't it? Because you can actually, yeah, because you can pick up on people's body language, their energy as well when they're actually outdoors. And do you take people kind of to similar places, or do they choose, or how would you decide?
I kind of have two areas. So Tic Nacht is generally my kind of the area I work in most of the time for evening sessions, and then daytime sessions I work between Barnsley and Carrigaloogan. But the routes within those I have kind of tailored to how fast people can go or what they're capable of or that kind of thing. So I've loads of different routes within those areas, which is great, because some people walk much faster than others, some are much slower than others, you know. And like obviously you have to, I have clients waiting down the car park, so I can't be late. I have to
No.
time it. That is the trick. That was the tricky part at the start, was kind of learning
Yeah.
where I need to be at a certain, because you don't want to be looking at your watch in the session. That's really rude, you know. But
Yeah.
trying to make sure that I have everybody back in time, you know, especially
Yeah.
in the evenings or in the winters, because you know it's by head torch for a lot of the winter
Right.
months.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I have different routes within the area I go, but it's
Okay.
funny, I get clients who have come and done the same route loads of times, and then they come up to do it with friends of theirs and they don't know the way because they're so in what they're saying that they haven't actually been paying attention to that. So they're just following along and they know I'm, you know, leading them around.
Yeah.
And even if they've done it 10 times more, they couldn't find it by themselves, which I just find so interesting, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing though. It's like you could, that's what I find fascinating about the way you do it. It's just so interesting. Like you could just pick up on so many things that, as you said, sitting across from someone in a room, which is great, and I do it myself. Well, as a client, obviously, it's great and all, but doing it your way, I just think is just pretty. I think you could just find out so much more about yourself. I'm not talking about even about, how, you would find out information about your client, but how you'd feel about yourself doing that. I'm definitely, I'm gonna do one of the, I think it's amazing. I think it's, and what's the feedback you've got from people, say, even after the first one or even after a few? Because obviously they probably wouldn't have done it before. So what feedback have you got from it?
It's been really positive, you know, and I have had people who've done therapy in all ways with me. So I've had people who were doing it
Okay.
with me in clinic, and then they went online during lockdown, and then they've tried it hiking, and they like the hiking, you know,
Yeah,
they generally
okay.
prefer the hiking. Now I have some who will stay on Zoom, and that's fine, but a lot of the people who end up coming to me for hike sessions wouldn't go to therapy in any other way. They just wouldn't go, you know.
Right.
And like I've people doing, someone does a 5 hour round trip for a session, like that's crazy, but
Right.
they would not access therapy in any other way. So this literally feels like their only option. And
Yeah.
that just says that really we need more of this kind of therapy. We need, this needs to be a thing. This needs to be a very common way of practicing, because there's definitely a need for it. And I think especially within the neurodivergent community, it really helps that way of practicing. It's not really intimidating. It's not eye to eye. You're not, you know, it doesn't have that very hard social connection. So it's a much nicer, much better way for them to practice. It takes away a lot of the kind of the blockers to
Yeah.
kind of open communication for them in any other way. So, and
Yeah.
it's just so good. I mean, it's so good in all ways. It's so good for you. It's physically, it's so good for you, you know, but psychologically, walking like reduces your stress hormones. It stops you ruminating. You know, like they say, I think the research is 10 minutes of movement in the outdoors will give you a 90-minute boost to your natural positive effect. Like
Well.
that's huge payback for very little input, you know. So
Yeah.
there's loads of benefits to it. And kind of once you get into hiking, there's a massive community of people out there, and there's loads of things you can do, you know, that aren't like therapy hiking.
Yeah.
But just if you fall in love with it, there's loads of ways
Yeah.
to add it into your life in other ways, and
Yeah.
that's for
And
sure.
what age groups would you find kind of you would, would take on the hikes more? Would it be kind of an older demographic or younger or all different
Kind
types?
of a mix, to be honest. I
Right.
work mainly with sort of 17 and up. I tend not to work with younger teens specifically. But yeah, no, it's I have kind of an all manner of ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything really. So, and
Okay.
the group hikes as well, any of the collab hikes, there's a massive range of
Yeah.
ages there, you know. You get a
Yeah.
lovely mix of people from all over the place. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's you know, anyone it works for. I find guys like it a lot. I get a fair few male clients, they seem to find that way of practicing just a little bit easier, you know,
Yeah.
a bit
Okay,
nicer.
that's
So
interesting. That's
yeah.
interesting.
I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like sitting at a bar, you know, you're side to side. It's just to kind of, it just feels easier.
Yeah, and probably the yeah that and the fact like they're actually they probably feel like they're exercising and they're actually they're moving as well, and it's probably just easier to to open up about stuff then, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And actually, that the fact that you're moving and your blood is circulating means that you can think more clearly, means you can access more of what's going on in your head. Like there's just no end to the kind of the reasons why it works that way, you know?
I think it's amazing. I
Yeah,
think
it
it's I
makes
think I
sense.
just think because I just going back to what you said a few minutes ago about some people wouldn't access therapy,
Yeah.
you know, a kind of a regular type of therapy,
Yeah.
but they will go and do what you do. And I've because I remember when I saw you first on Instagram, I mentioned it to a few people and they said exactly the same thing. They said that their parents or they knew someone who wouldn't go to therapy but would probably do what you do with
Yeah.
you. And I thought that was amazing because you're just offering
Yeah.
up a completely different, you know, a completely different type of kind of a service for people who might
Yeah.
even like just go to normal therapy. I don't mean normal therapy, but
No, yeah, traditional, yeah.
regular therapy in it, traditional therapy can be a bit overwhelming or daunting, or as you said, even for some guys, which I'm, you know, people are sick of hearing
Yeah.
me trying to kind of advocate for men to speak more and to open up more,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? And so the fact that, like, I think what if more guys would probably opt for going on a session with you, I
Yeah.
think is amazing. I think it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I really do. I do think it's the future. I would love that. That's my dream for hikes. Like, I would love for there to be a hiking therapist in every county. I would love for it to just be just like, do you do your therapy in person? Do you do it on Zoom or do you do it hiking? You know, it's just one of those things. It'll just become the norm. And I just think it works for so many people, you know, and like even in the brutal weather, because like there is no question Ireland is not the best for the weather. So but like I've never had a client not show up for a session, even in the lashing rain. Like I've had to cancel before if there was like a red weather warning or something. Do you know what I mean? Like you've got to be realistic about these things too, but that doesn't happen very often, thankfully. But like even in torrential rain, people still come out because it's 50 minutes, you know. You go home and you have a hot shower afterwards and you've gotten a walk and you know, sometimes actually being out really in the real nature, you know, feels kind of therapeutic in itself. You know, you kind of feel like the rain is washing away everything, that you can leave it out there, you know, that you can leave your stresses in the hills, just let them
I love
flow
that.
away, you
I
know.
love that. I love that. That's
Yeah,
brilliant.
not bring it home with you. So it
Yeah, I
is,
love.
it works, you know.
Yeah. And what got you into psychotherapy in the first place? Have you always been interested in helping people?
Yeah, well, I'm from a ha family of helpers. They're all doctors in my family, doctors and
Well,
nurses in my family.
okay.
So yeah, but funnily enough, I didn't go that way. My dad tried to discourage all of us from being doctors. He was like, have a life, have a social life, see your friends, have hobbies, you know, don't kind of commit your whole life to this thing, you know. But as it turned out, my two brothers ended up being doctors too. And myself and my sister were like, yeah, no, we're okay, thanks, you know. So I ended up going into marketing. Now, I think I stupidly probably did that because I was like following a boyfriend to college or something, but not I don't think it was my true calling, you know. But I then, through many jobs and bits and pieces, ended up setting up two boutiques with a friend of mine right before the recession. And then the recession came. I had invested all of my savings for like 10 plus years beforehand into it, and the recession came and just wiped us out. So I lost everything, was unemployed, was trying to figure my life out, got a job making coffees. And like I then was like, what do you want to do? Like this, you know, look at this as an opportunity. Like what, you know, you're gonna have to start afresh. So what are you gonna do? You know, and so I knew what I didn't want to do. And by process of elimination, I kind of kept coming around to therapy. And I thought, is that actually it? Like, is that what I want? You know? And then I started saying it to people who knew me well. And they were all like, she's been talking about doing that for years. Like, that's always been something. And my dad, actually, as it turned out, used to call me the little agony aunt because all the kids in the neighborhood would come around and ask me questions if they were having a fight or if, you know, if they were worried about things. So I'd kind of been doing it for forever. So that was it. That was how I did it. So I went to college at night. I made coffees during the day and I retrained. And yeah, and I love it. I absolutely love it. It's such an honor to have a job where people literally trust you with things that nobody else in the world knows. Like, I know things about people who there's not a person in their family knows, you know, and that someone would trust me with that, with their deepest, darkest fears and secrets is just, it is an honor. And I never take for granted, you know, what that actually means for someone to be able to do that. So I love it. It's the best job.
Wow, you found your true calling.
I did.
How can people get in touch with you? Obviously, you have your Instagram and your website, but is it,
Yeah, that's
yeah, go
really
on.
it. So yeah, at hikesike.ie is the Instagram and hikesike.ie is the website as well. I am kind of fully booked at the minute and have quite a lot of people waiting. But I do have a
Wow.
lovely new therapist, Deirdre, who is practicing in Meath. So she takes people for walks or on up to the Hill of Tara. So you know, but I if I have availability, I will post it on Instagram. It will be saved in stories. But I know D has some space, so
Okay.
there is if anyone's in Meath or near there that they can access that. But just yeah, keep an eye out because the plan is to try and add some more therapists in. I'm trying to get them to swap their suits for boots, you know,
Swap their
and
seals for builds. Lovely.
yeah, and to come and join me in the hills. So hopefully someday soon there will be. You know, there'll be more of us doing it, and it'll be easier to access because it's yeah, it's very popular.
It's amazing. So, and I think you're amazing as well, and you're so
Oh,
good and you're so nice.
thank
And even though you keep getting me lost in the park.
you. No, that was actually comical. Like we just walked around, for anyone who didn't see the Instagram, we were trying to find the route around Malahide Castle, and we did what, four or five attempts at finding this and just kept ending up at the same spot. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But you know, we're obviously cut from the same cloth, I think.
I think so. Lost. Right. Look, I suppose we
Good.
better go and end this before this podcast takes a weird turn
I
somewhere.
know, I know. Oh yeah, we never even got around to the
God knows where
squirrels
we'll
with the
end up.
helmets or the grown-up playground.
Oh Jesus, we didn't. Right, I completely forgot about that. So we
I
had this
know.
genius idea, which no one's gonna even find amusing now. We have to be there.
I know. I have to. This is my next business, the grown-up playgrounds. I'm telling you, this is the
Oh, the
way
grown-up
forward.
playground. I've
Yeah,
yeah.
grown-up playground. So you don't go to the gym, you go to a giant playground just for grown-ups. I
Yeah.
think it's genius. That'd be so
It
fun and really good for
is.
getting in touch with your inner child, you know?
It is. Yeah, I actually completely forgot about that, actually. That is a good idea.
It's just, I don't know why no one else has done it. Yeah. So if anyone
Probably.
steals that,
Okay, right. Well, the squirrel, I'm sorry, but the squirrels in the hard hats and hive was my idea. I'm keeping that one. I don't think it's going to be as revolutionary as an adult playground, but you never know.
yeah, that's see, that was okay. So you have to explain that too. So we're walking along, we're talking about the adult playground. And then Keith said, "Oh, but you're like, what if they hurt themselves?" And then I saw a squirrel in the tree, so I got distracted and I went, "Oh, look, a squirrel!" And then I answered your, "What if they hurt themselves?" with, "You could make them wear helmets." But of course, you were like, "Why would I make a squirrel wear a helmet?"
Like what? Why am I putting a hat on a squirrel?
It just all got ridiculous.
Two absolute morons walking around the park lost talking about squirrels.
Oh, it's very funny.
Do you know what? I'm actually going to get little small high-vis jackets with the Ellis Bar logo on. I'm just going to put them on little squirrels.
Oh
Free
God.
advertising.
Yeah, that
Hike
hikes
cycle as well, yeah. Do you want to add anything else into this random
What could you
podcast before we
possibly
go?
add on to that? No, I think that's fine. No.
You
Awesome. Thank
want
you so much. That was
okay.
so fun.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thanks very much for coming on. No, I keep calling you De Hike Psych. It's not De
Hike
Hike.
Psych. No, it's just Hike Psych. Yeah.
It's just Hike Psych.
Or Cara.
I was
Actually,
just
I
gonna say
did.
that. I could just call you by your name, Cara.
Yeah, I don't actually make people call me Hike Psych.
Okay. You should too, really, be honest. Right, I'm
Oh, God.
out of here. Cara is out of here.
Thanks, Keith.
Yeah, brilliant. And look, guys, thanks very much for listening again. That's two podcasts in 2 weeks. Well, maybe I am back. We'll see. I don't know. I'll decide how I feel next week.
Guess who's
Right.
back?
Yeah, exactly. Right. We're out of here. See you guys. Thanks.
Bye.
Oh, you know what?
matter, you don't matter, you don't matter.